Om Shanti. Reading the slogan this morning about freedom and being free from all the influences of Maya made me think about this particular topic of true freedom. And usually Baba tells us that Baba's come to give us an inheritance of Mukti and Jivan Mukti, and if we can experience that inheritance here and now in Sangam Yuga, then we know that we have it in the future too. And so freedom and Mukti, how far have I come in my journey to be able to experience that here and now? And it's a reality that when I do experience some form of bondage or some sort of influence from outside, then the immediate signal of that is that I don't experience my own inner state of peace or happiness anymore. And so if I'm feeling a little bit restless, a little bit peaceless, then time to check what are the influences that are working on me at this moment. And probably you'll be able to track it down and you'll see that this is the influence, this is the bondage. I'm using both words synonymously, but they are different, but yet the impact of both of them is that I lose my peace of mind. And definitely, if I'm not peaceful, I can't be very happy either. And just starting from literally first steps on the journey, and although it's first steps, but it's also something that we continue to check and work with till the end of our journey, I'm sure. And that is, what are my likes and dislikes? What are my preferences? And one thing that comes to mind absolutely immediately is our sense of taste. There are things I like and things I don't like. And I remember early days when Dadiji and Miniben used to be feeding Bab Dada. They took the greatest delight in feeding Baba bananas. Some of you are oldie goldies and you'll remember that scene. And I asked at some point, well, why is it that Daddy laughs so much when she's feeding Baba banana? And they told me that it's because Daddy Gulzar never has bananas. And so the human being, and there was definitely a preference or whatever, but she never had any banana. And so when Baba came, they used to feed Daddy's body. They were feeding Baba, but it was the body that was having to take it, a lot of banana. But a few years ago, I was traveling with Daddy Gulzar from Delhi to Abu. It was after one of the big programs that we'd had in Delhi. And she had a banana. And I said, Daddy, something's changed. And she says, yes, I now have bananas. And so if that's any indication of being able to go beyond taste and preferences, I see that that is an indication. And I suppose, interesting, we're having an experience of the old times when suddenly the lights used to go out. But the sound is still functioning, so I'll carry on. So in my own terms, my taste, my preferences, do I still have those? Or is it that, like the story we hear about Mama, that whatever they gave her to eat, she would just simply take and she would be in Baba's remembrance and that was it. And at one point afterwards, the sisters had the same food that they had given Mama. And they came back to her and apologized profusely because there was no salt in it. Somebody had forgotten to put in the salt. And they said to Mama, But Mama, you didn't even tell us that there was no salt. We could very easily have brought some and added it. And she said, but it makes no difference. And so Mama's stage, even way, way back in those days, absolutely no preference in terms of taste. And so my likes and my dislikes, we usually have quite a list of those. And yet, in fact, I'm thinking that where there's a very strong sense of like and dislike, then it holds me in bondage, that I can't manage without this. And usually our likes and dislikes are a little bit milder than that, and if we get it, it's fine. If we don't get it, it's fine. But sometimes it goes further than that, and it comes to a point where I say, well, I'm not quite sure how I'd manage if I didn't have this. I remember when I was at the museum in Agra, when I'd first surrendered, the brother in charge was talking to me about the end days, and I thought that the end days were imminent. And now I'm just waiting to see how the drama unfolds. But he said to me, if there's anything that you're addicted to, even in terms of tea or coffee, then in the final moments, what will you be remembering? Will you be remembering your tea, or will you be remembering Baba? And so that became a very interesting touchstone for me. And at that moment, it was a very dramatic shift for me from life in London, and then not just to life in India, and India was quite different at that time. At the end of the 60s, didn't have the comforts that we have today, but not just that change from London to India, but India, an ashram. And again, life was very, very different in the centers at that point. A lot of discipline and a lot of renunciation on an external level, and I'm sure for those who are there on an inner level too, but very different. And so it meant that I was checking everything within myself. Do I miss this? Do I need this? Can I manage without this? And so it was a great foundation to be able to really stabilize a stage where it's only Baba and one Baba and nothing else. And so just to check that out, do I still have preferences and likes and dislikes? And of course, when it comes to not just taste, but also comfort, I'm sure that when comfort is available and I use it, it's fine. But what will happen to me if I don't have that sort of comfort? Will I be missing it? Will I be dependent on it? Or will I be able to just say, it's okay, it's fine? This morning I was with the Latino group, and it's quite a large group, and it's quite amazing that they've traveled from so far away to come to Madhuban. But I was remembering one particular mantra that's very, very helpful to be able to sail through many, many things. And today there was a situation in which, again, I'd shared it in the class, and then I reminded myself of it a bit later on. And it's the mantra, it's okay. It's okay. Just keep reminding yourself of this mantra, it's okay, and you'll be able to see whatever else is going on, it's okay. It's out there, but I don't want to allow it to influence me inside. Let it stay out there. I don't want it to penetrate inside. And so the more I can free myself from external influences in that way, the more I can say, yes, I'm on my road to freedom. I'm on the way to mukti. Influences of people and both things, and where somebody was causing me a bit of upset, because I didn't think that they were doing things the way they should, the way things should be. And Daddy's comment to me at that time, the more you think about this, the more you're creating bondage for yourself, for this individual. And that struck home so strongly that I realized that yes, the more I'm going to think about this person, and I'm not thinking about them in a very pure way about how wonderful they are, but I'm thinking about the problem I'm having with them, then that's creating my thoughts, creating the bondage with them, that's going to be a problem for me. And so that instruction or that information from Daddy, clarity, and I literally had to remind myself and stop myself thinking about that individual in that way. I'd see something and I'd put a full stop to my thoughts. And amazing that just a little while later, then I no longer had to work with that person in that very close, intense way that I had to earlier. And so it was a very beautiful proof to me that when we cut the inner bondage of the influence of the other inside, then what appears to be the external bondage also, the whole situation changes very rapidly. And the longer I carry on with my reactions internally to that individual, then the longer the external situations will also continue, and it's going to be unlikely that I find myself free. I found Baba's mantra today of very simple first step, soul consciousness, just detach from the body. And the mantra that Baba was giving us today of detachment, it was in the context of being free from anger. And I haven't heard this expression of nirkrodhi, no anger, put together in one word in Hindi like that before. Sometimes Baba coins new words, and so maybe it's one of those new words that Baba was sharing, that Baba himself had invented. But anyway, that aspect of being free from anger, and there are two reasons why anger comes. One is where you think it's unjust, and that creates a reaction, and so I want to put it right, and I think it has to be put right, and I have to put it right. And then when I'm in that mode of thinking about justice and injustice, and I want to put it right, or it shouldn't be like this, you can see that what Baba's saying from this morning's blessing is that it's definitely the I factor that's coming in. And the other side of the picture, the state of freedom, where I see that something is not right, but I'm willing to step away from it and not allow myself to be pulled into the turmoil of why and how and if and but and this should happen, that should happen, and all of these things. And in that detachment from that turmoil, then just remaining peaceful, and I'm probably able to influence that situation and be able to change it to a greater extent than I could if I simply get angry about it. And so I'm just aware that when Baba has spoken all these things through all these long, long years, and we're getting a chance to revise those things either in the revision course, Murali's, the Avyakt revision, or we're just revising them in the blessings and the slogan, it's incredible how many beautiful nuggets Baba has given us that we can use in a very practical way in our life. And so I was very much appreciating those two comments that Baba made in terms of freedom from anger. So one is, don't think about justice and injustice in that context, really just be very detached, very soul conscious, and let the drama work itself out, and my anger against the individuals or the drama isn't going to help change things in any way that's positive. But if I step away, then I know that in Baba's work, God is in charge and God is going to make things happen in the right way. And where it's not Baba's work, where it's the things of Kali Yuga, then I know that at this moment, whatever is injustice, I don't really know. When you think about Kali Yuga and all the things that are going on, you read something, you hear something, but we only get to hear one layer of what it is that's happening. We've no idea of all the other layers in any situation or all the other aspects that are involved. And I remember it was at the time of the Twin Towers story, and Daddy was being asked to give a message, and Maureen wrote something and Daddy amended it, and then a message went out, and Daddy's point, and Maureen wrote it very beautifully, but Daddy's point had been that don't take sides, because you don't know what is right and who is right. And subsequently there have been so much other information or misinformation, you don't know. So in Baba's work, you know that Baba's in charge ultimately, and the right thing is going to happen. In terms of the world out there, I don't know what is right and what is wrong. It's just too much stuff that's going on. But what I do know is that finally Kali Yuga is going to come to an end and Satyuga has to begin. Somebody asked me, was it yesterday or today, how deep is this faith that Satyuga is coming? I said, it's absolute. I really have no question about it. I don't know all the mechanics of it, and I wouldn't be able to explain, it's like this, it's like this, it's like that, it's like that. I don't know, but in terms of Kali Yuga must finish, it can't carry on like this, and Satyuga has to come. That faith is absolutely total, just as much as this faith that this is Shiv Baba speaking through Brahma Baba. And I do feel that that is what makes a Brahman. And if that faith isn't intact, Shiv Baba, Brahma Baba, then I'm going to be facing challenges and there'll be things that will create many questions in my mind. But I know Satyuga is coming, and so even the injustices that I see, that I perceive as injustice in the world, it's going to be fine. It's going to get sorted out and souls are going to go home and finally we're going to be able to come back into the world of truth. So one aspect was that, and the second aspect that Baba spoke about this morning in terms of freedom was the aspect of defamation. And it's true that I hear one word and it stays with me, and how long does it stay with me? The person who said it has maybe forgotten it already, but I harbor it and it festers and it gets worse and worse, and the longer I hold it within myself, the more I'm creating disturbance for myself. And so the story of the ant and the elephant, and it's a real story, but I haven't seen it happen, but I know that it can happen. But in terms of Baba sharing stories, it's a story that Baba shared in 1969, and I remember it because it was at the opening of the museum. And would you believe it? Avyakta Bhaktada came in the museum. That was the inauguration of the museum. And so I remember the date for various reasons. I don't always remember chapter and verse, but in this case it was the 15th of May 1969, and we were in the museum, and Avyakt Baba had come, you know, just where you enter the museum, so they made a gaddi for Baba just there, and then everybody else was fitting in wherever they could. And Baba said beautiful things about the museum and how much amazing service was going to happen, all of which has been a reality. There's been so many centers opened in India through people who come to see the museum and then invite the teachers to come. But after the praise and everything, then the point that Baba was making was, they say that an ant gets into the ear of an elephant and drives the elephant so crazy that the elephant falls. And so just imagine the size of an ant, the size of an elephant, and an ant making an elephant fall. And Baba's explanation was that, and it can happen on a physical level, practically, I suppose, but in terms of Gyan, here's a Maharati, really strong, Gyan and yoga, everything's there, but they hear something about themselves, and they weren't meant to hear it anyway, but they hear it, and that little ant, those words of defamation go into their ears and makes the head spin. All the Gyan and yoga disappears, and bang, they fall. And so it takes away all their power and their connection with Baba, because their attention has been diverted into something so negative, and they're not able to take it. So, the ant and the elephant story. And today Baba is saying that if you hear something, or there is something which isn't right, then what you have to do is to actually give that other individual a lot of love. It's a tall order. One is that I've been hurt, and so in my hurt and pain, I want to lash out, and the anger is coming up. And here's Baba saying to me, no, that's not on. Turn it around completely, and just give them love. And what Baba is teaching us is the way to become not just free from anger, but also free from any type of sorrow. I've taken sorrow, and it's the sorrow that's making me want to cause pain and inflict pain on others. And so that's the anger. But if I don't accept that sorrow, if I take the lesson that's coming from that defamation, whatever it may be, and I learn the lesson, and then further beyond that, I'm really able to have compassion for them, because I can see that they're in need of something, something that obviously I haven't been able to give them so far. That's why the defamation is happening. They needed something, and I haven't been able to give it. If I'm able to connect deeply with Baba and take whatever it is Baba wants to give me, and then be able to share what Baba has given me, not only am I free from sorrow, not only am I free from anger, but also I've taken the opportunity to do a good deed, an act of charity, punya karma, be able to give another what they need, not just give them a little bit of what I think I should them, but actually give them whatever it is that they need. And so an amazing method that Baba told us about to become free from anger. And again, that was part of the trigger for thinking about this particular subject. And so freedom from the likes and dislikes, connected very much with the external physical senses, and then the freedom from the vices. Before Gyan, we just think that all these things are normal. So somebody will have anger, somebody will have greed, somebody will have ego, and this is what human life is like. Nobody even thinks about wanting to challenge Maya in this way. This is why the other day Baba said that in bhakti, you don't even think about conquering Maya. You don't even think about fighting Maya, never mind conquering. And so now when we come to Baba, I realize that one of the first things that happens is not so much the challenge with Maya, but actually the realization of all the things that I have within myself that Maya has filled me with, in the sense that, did I know that I had anger? Or maybe I knew I had anger, but did I know the extent to which I had anger? And in terms of ego, we think that, well, you know, you need your dignity, you need your self-respect, and so you don't even think about it as ego. And now here is today Baba saying, even when there's an influence coming from outside, even that is body consciousness. And so the depth of Baba's explanations and the subtlety of Baba's explanations are very, very powerful. And so the way to be able to be free from each one of these vices, it's a whole journey that when I started, I knew that I wanted to come to the stage of becoming pure and 16 statutory degrees perfect. I didn't know what that meant. I'd heard this expression, but I didn't know what it exactly meant. But I didn't realize that the whole process of cleaning out each one of the vices was going to take so much time. And I'm very appreciative of the fact that it's been decades that I've had. And I don't know how those who come to Baba are able to really get into the depth of all of this and clean themselves so completely and be so completely free within a short space of time. But I think that's going to be God's power and God's miracle that we see last go fast souls who are able to really do that work very, very quickly. But I know for myself it's been a very long journey to even acknowledge, recognize that this is what there is within the soul. And being free from each one of these vices, that's another step towards freedom. And as I free myself from each one of these vices, and sometimes you think you're free and then it comes back again and it makes you realize that there's another layer that you hadn't yet touched on. But I'm also appreciating that the five vices, the big ones, fine, but fear. And I see how much fear there is in the world out there, and understandably so. Whether it's fear of sudden illness, been hearing about swine flu in India and in Gujarat, so am I scared of that, or am I sensible? Am I going to take precautions? And simple basic precautions can be taken. Or is it just immediately that I get scared? I know that many years ago, when we used to bring guests to India in February for the conferences, somehow or another, and some of you who are here will remember this, maybe Charlie, before every major conference, somehow around December or January, there'd always be some sort of crisis that would hit India. And we'd have our guests saying to us, but my family is telling me I shouldn't really be traveling to India. It happened so regularly, we began to expect that it was going to happen and that we were going to have to comfort the souls, we were going to have to explain to them and tell them about Abu and make sure that they were okay to travel, so today people hear things and instantly there's a reaction of fear because it might well be that you're affected. So whether it's health situations, whether it's terrorism, 20 years ago it wasn't this way that it is today. Even 10 years ago it wasn't. It's in the last little while that all this has happened. But also, just in terms of our own personal security and future, I see Brahmins go through a process in which we say that the Brahmin population is now an aging population. And absolutely true. The plus 35s were looking at photographs of themselves 35 years ago or longer. We had a collage of photographs outside, and we were not just seeing the young dadis, we were seeing the young ourselves. And we didn't know that this journey was going to be such a long one. And when you face the future, when you're in your 60s or further beyond that, you begin to see the world in a very different way than when you were 30 or 20. And at this moment, what is it that I have that gives me faith that it's going to be okay? And freedom from fear, from whatever it is, personal security in terms of finance, in terms of my own future, in terms of my health, in terms of my place, where I'm going to be, all of that. And the foundation that I have is not just my faith in Shiv Baba, but also the good karma that each one has done. The faith that we have for our future that keeps us without fear is that the time that I came to Baba, I've used that time in a positive way, and the good seeds that have been sown, the good karma that has been done, is the foundation for a life without any fear at this moment. And I don't think that there's many who can say that I haven't made mistakes. I'm sure people like Mama, Daddy Kumarka, they would say that I didn't make mistakes. But I know that for most of us, there have been mistakes. I speak for myself. And even though there have been mistakes, yet still I know that together with that, there's been the recognition of the mistake, there's been seeking the forgiveness from Baba for that mistake, and wherever possible from that human being also, and there's been effort made to bring about transformation. And so I know that yoga power, but also all these other things, have been used to settle the things of the past in terms of my Brahmin life, the past in terms of pre-gyan. That's much easier. You come to Baba and realization, and Baba says, okay, don't think about it, you let go, you forget it, and just remember me and I'll take care of it. But the mistakes after becoming a Brahmin weigh a little bit heavier on the soul. And so then the process of recognizing and realizing and transforming, all of that work to be able to let the soul become free. Freedom from fear, not just in terms of the future, but freedom then from the fear that the mistakes I've made are going to be bringing repercussions. I'm able to settle those things in my heart also, because I know that when there's been honesty with Baba, then Baba has also given power and the strength to be able to go beyond those. Freedom from the burden that I carry in terms of lack of forgiveness. Two realizations about this. One is that it's actually not in my authority to be able to forgive. I don't have the authority to forgive. And so it's not even an option for me that I'm not going to forgive them. It's not a question, I forgive or I don't forgive. The karmic account of that soul is with God, and God is the one who's responsible, and I can just hand it over and let God be responsible, and I'm free. And this helped me enormously in one particular situation where I tried to help a soul and I thought that they were responding, and then things really turned around very badly, and I felt that I'd been taken advantage of, and I was trying to tell the person, you know, can't let this carry on like this, no more, finish, and I wasn't going to be able to help them anymore, and they weren't understanding. It was difficult for them to comprehend that what they were doing was not right, and I was causing myself a lot of aggro, and on one side it was sorrow, but on the other side it was also anger, and a lot of talking to myself and reflection, and I realized that their karma and God had nothing to do with me, and I had to step away and remind myself that it wasn't even in my power to forgive or not to forgive, and so just let it go. The words are very easy, but it takes time to go through that process of understanding and realizing and then really being able to let go. And after that, it didn't happen instantly, in the sense that the decision had been made, but I kept getting being tested by that individual, and I just had to persevere, not involved, not engaged in that. Now, up to you, and you sort out your own stuff. Finish. And after some time, it did finish, really it did. And so that was one aspect that I had to deeply realize. And another aspect of it was, in the whole subject of forgiveness and being able to be free, where I carry blame, I'm blaming an individual for something. I'm not appreciating their circumstances or their situation, but the blame that I carry isn't allowing me to be free. And so forgiveness, in that sense that I'm able to understand that whatever it is they did, whether it was their sanskars, whether it was circumstances, whether it was a need, whatever it was, that there was something that was there, and I can't put blame on them. Whatever were the influences that were working to make things happen the way they did, I can't continue to say that it was their fault. But it's also me. I'm holding that against them. And so, not so much even forgiveness, but just deep understanding, and then not blaming them anymore, and letting myself become free. And really, freedom comes from forgiveness in that way, understanding all the different aspects related to forgiveness. I've mentioned just a couple, but many aspects connected. And so that aspect of freedom, absolutely important if I want to keep my state of mind healthy. All the things that Baba's teaching us in terms of freedom are so that we can come back to the original state of the soul. And one is to say, I want to let go of all of this and many, many things, and it's quite hard work, one by one by one by one. And I think it's necessary, it has been for me. From the other side, a very quick method, and I use it very often, but I also need to do all the other work to really weed out all the things and clean out the soul. But the very quick method that I use to come back to a state of equilibrium so that the soul remains stable, that is coming back to who am I and the original religion of the self. I truly am peace. This is who I am. I truly am that being of love. And if I use those methods that Papa has given me to remind myself of not just I'm a soul, but what soul am I? I'm a soul who is peaceful. I'm a soul who is pure. And at the moment, many things that are coming up that I have to clean, but this is my original state of being. And just being able to stabilize the soul in that awareness for a few moments, even the traffic control that comes, just come back to that state of who am I. And you're able to touch into your own original state and be a little bit detached from the things that are going on there. And then, yes, later on I'll do the deeper work I need to do. But immediately, what I need to get hold of is centering myself and coming back to that original being. And so, people, situations, internally, the stuff that I carry, the memories that I hold, the whole process of cleansing is also the way to freedom. Memories. Why Madhuban is so powerful. It gives us unlimited scope for creating very beautiful memories. Things that you hold in your heart and your mind that stay with you and help you clean out the other memories that hold you in bondage to sorrow. And over the years, I think many have created many beautiful memories, but I hold very beautiful pictures in my mind of Baba, of the Dadis, of scenes with others in Madhuban, and every time you emerge these, then you get a very pure feeling, a very beautiful feeling of great joy and love. And when you do this, then the other memories, you're washing away gradually. And it's very, very important not to bring up those old memories. Every time I allow one of the old memories of pain to come up, I'm again reinforcing that scene and that feeling. And so Baba's teaching us really to be free from that also. The process of cleansing is the process of freedom. Just thinking about Baba talking so much about company and the Sarkar Muralis at the present time. There are people who inspire you and help you move forward. And that influence that Baba's talked about in recent Muralis, choose the company that you keep. Be very selective about it. What is the influence of this one? Is it bringing me closer to God and bringing me closer to my state of freedom? Or is it bringing me further into bondage and creating more waves of sorrow and pain? And so, to be aware of that also. It's not discrimination, but it's maximizing my own time and also learning to take benefit from whatever situation I'm in. And so if I can take benefit, let me take benefit. If there isn't that possibility of taking benefit from inside, from outside, then there's always, always a lot of treasures that we have inside that we can benefit from. So just to be totally aware and then make sure that I keep moving forward and moving ahead. Om Shanti.